Well, welcome to another episode of American Christian. I'm here with Dr. David Nichols.
And boy, do we have a topic for you here today.
Yeah, this will get you...
This will curl your hair here today.
Well, you know what? It does, because I think that we all kind of fall play into this.
Ooh.
You know, in some form or another, especially if you're in the Midwest, you know. I don't know
especially
what...
Especially in Minnesota.
Well, what did New Yorkers go up against?
No, they don't really have much of this, but... I'll tell you, Minnesota, North and South Dakota, probably large parts of Wisconsin. This is a big deal.
Right?
Okay.
Oh, my word.
Yeah.
Okay, so, Doc, we've got this thing that's happening in the Midwest.
Right.
And kind of one of the things that we've experienced, just to kind of let one of these goats out the gate, but, you know, you're really not supposed to think that you're anything special.
Yeah, and if you're a Christian, you're always supposed to be nice.
Oh.
There we go with our word.
So
nice.
Do Christians always have to be nice?
Well, I looked in a concordance, Pete. I searched for the word nice. Now, this is in Strong's. I got exhausted looking through Strong's exhaustive concordance, okay? And I couldn't find the word nice in the Bible, in English. Now, you went further, and you found it in a few free verse type, you know.
Right. Paraphrased.
Right,
yeah.
Those type of versions of the Bible. But in literal translations, we could not find it.
Yeah, so when we're saying, when we are saying nice there, We're talking about really about being pleasant,
right?
Would we say that, like,
if
we were going to grab anything,
yeah,
we would say, hey, you know, they're pleasant,
right? But it raises a really important issue, I think, and so I think what we should do is first read the Beatitudes off of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount,
right?
I'll do that, and then you read the Law of Yontologen.
Okay.
It gets kind of interesting.
It does.
It really does. So here we go. We're in Matthew chapter 5, and verse 3. Jesus says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are the nice." No, excuse me.
Doc.
Jesus didn't say that. Okay. "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And then we should probably also throw in verses 11 and 12. "Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you."
Yeah, that really, it's 11 and 12 that really throw a grenade into this.
The nice thing.
Yeah, you know, and so Doc and I were talking a little earlier, last week we were kind of coming up with, the way that we should travel, you know, on the podcast. And so one of the things is just the idea of being nice, you know, knowing your place. You know, don't rock the boat. You know, get vaccinated. Don't get vaccinated. Wear a mask. Don't wear a mask. Don't stay away from public. Be separate. Don't rock the boat. Don't go up against establishment. These are all things that we really hear. You could almost say that it comes from the pulpit, because I don't know where else people are getting it from, because they're not getting it out of the Word of God, right?
Right, and nice in the sense of, well, you want to be nice as a Christian, because if you're not nice, non-Christians will look at you and they won't want to be Christians.
Oh, they won't want to be like you. Well, they don't want to be like you anyway. Because, right? I mean, there's a veiled thing there. I think that we, you know, being around bad company corrupts good morals. Well, and it doesn't run the other way. That's what the word says. So, you know, I don't know. Do people really become Christians because... I think maybe I had maybe a little bit of that experience of people watching you and saying, I really want that. I think that I had experienced some of that myself. I want that. But it wasn't because the guy was nice. It's because he took a stand on something that I thought, you know what?
That's not nice, Pete. Take a stand. What?
Well, yeah. Take a stand on something.
Ooh.
So, okay, so you want to read, you want to go into this list?
Yeah, why don't you?
The Ontologen?
So, listener, please grasp the contrast here. Now Pete's going to read the tenets of the Ontologen.
There are 10.
Yes.
Well, they've added one to
yeah,
it,
well,
but
right.
Anyway. But the 10 are, number one, you are not to think that you're anything special. Two, you're not to think that you're as good as we are. You're not to think that you're smarter than we are. You're not to imagine yourself better than we are. You're not to think you know more than we do. Number six, you're not to think you're more important than we are. You're not to think you're good at anything. Number eight, you're not to laugh at us.
No laughing.
You're not to think anyone cares about you. And number 10, you're not to think that you can teach us anything. And there's the 11th one is this.
That's the zinger.
They kind of throw it out there. But number 11 says, perhaps you don't think we know a few things about you. Which is like, okay. Yeah.
So, Pete, where does these rules of Ontologen come from?
Well, it rolls all the way back. It's probably a demonic spirit is what it is. But it just kind of showed up on the radar back in the 1930s, right?
Right.
Out of, was it Denmark?
Right.
The Nordic countries anyway?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Denmark, Norway, Sweden. Yep. So we have this thing. We are coming to you out of the state of Minnesota.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Minnesota is inhabited by many people from this type of heritage.
Right.
And we have a saying here in Minnesota that is a very interesting combination of words. It's called Minnesota nice. You remember that?
I do.
Yeah.
You know what? And
in my opinion, it is no more or less than an Americanized version of Ontologen.
Wow. Well, given the roots of Minnesota,
which so many people are from,
right,
those nations, Norway, Sweden, and some few Danes maybe, but
sure.
But yeah. And so our question today really kind of takes off from this and this contrast between the Beatitudes and the Ontologen, because they really, each one presents its own vision for how we should live, right?
Right.
You got Jesus with the Beatitudes, and then you got Nordic culture with the Ontologen.
You know, for people that may be listening right now, the whole idea with the Beatitudes, I mean, from your perspective, you know, where does the Ontologen law, where does this come from? But where do the Beatitudes come from? What is really taking place in the scripture, in the gospel here of Matthew that we're reading from? What is it? Like, this is Jesus just coming on scene into, like, move into larger groups of people, right? Because everything up to this point, he's pretty much been one-on-one. He's kind of got his following. He was doing his work to bring his followers or his disciples on board, right?
Right. It kind of serves as the introduction, really, to the whole Sermon on the Mount.
Right.
Which is all about how how you should live your life if you're going to follow Jesus.
Would you say that the Beatitudes are kingdom principles?
Yes.
And I would probably say that this law of Yanta is a kingdom principle.
A different
with
kingdom.
A lower K. Lower K kingdom. Whoa. Right? Because we've got, right, we know that there are principalities, powers, and things that are in high places,
right.
That the battle is occurring in the heavens. It's manifesting itself here on earth.
So this combination of things then, so Minnesota nice,
yeah.
Understanding where it comes from,
mm-hmm.
And then this, I think, quite important question. Should Christians always be nice?
Well, we hear it.
And it's not often said in exactly those words. It's kind of like, well, Christians should really never talk about politics.
Oh.
Or Christians should never really bring up stuff like abortion or...
crucifixion.
Oh, I mean, stuff that isn't nice.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Because, why? Because you might offend somebody.
There it is.
And you wouldn't want to offend anybody because, you know, we're supposed to be getting as many people as possible to be Christians, which is true. That is our mission. But this nice thing, I wonder if we have misunderstood it and if we're really misusing it in a quite terrible way.
Hmm.
That's what I wonder about, Pete.
Well, if we're to take, you know, we talked a little bit about this pre-podcast, the idea of, if we were to say, hey, look, you're not supposed to think that you're anything special, but what does the Word of God say about how special you are? If you were to go into that, you're the...
Psalm 139? I mean, dude.
Wow, that was right off the kick. What? Tell us.
What, Psalm 139?
Yeah, let's just go there. Okay?
Yeah. Well, yeah, and you just read it. You're not to think... that's number one. You're not to think you're anything special.
Right.
Well, what does the Word of God say?
Let's see how special we are.
How special are we? Okay. Verse 1, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off.
Ooh.
This is God, eternal, almighty God, and interacting with you as an individual here on the earth. Right? You comprehend my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways.
Whoa.
That's a singular individual. Now, I know it's King David writing it. But
right.
By extension, he's writing it for every one of us.
Right.
Right? There's not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before, laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it.
Hmm.
What other conclusion could you come to that you are a unique and special individual?
Wow.
Now, again, there's another word that is... subject to word abuse, okay, special, you know.
Right.
I mean, it can become very trivial in our current English.
It can be
usage.
Downright nasty.
Right.
I'm
special, you know.
Yeah.
And you're not. But when you understand that you actually are special, and so is the person sitting next to you, so Pete,
Thank you
are very special.
Turn to your neighbor in the car and say,
yeah.
You're very special.
And it's true.
You are.
But not in a flippant, weird, narcissistic sense.
Right. Right.
In a true biblical sense.
But you have
God
been...
knows you. He knows everything about you. And he wants you to draw near to him and spend time with him.
Right. And you're gifted in certain ways that other people aren't gifted,
and
which makes you special.
And that sounds like a relationship with the God who created this whole universe, who is so powerful and so mighty and
right.
So loving and everything that he is, but he wants to be in relationship with you.
But doctor, God is far away from us. He's all the way in heaven.
Oh.
How can he possibly know all of these things about everybody? Right? I mean, there's just that attitude that like, well, God doesn't see us. He's not, what are you talking about? He's a creator. But it's
verse seven.
What is it?
Where can I go from your spirit?
Oh.
Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand will lead me. God is everywhere, and you can't get away from him, actually.
You cannot get away from him.
You can ignore him temporarily, I think, but you can't really get away from him.
Right. So one of the problem with Minnesota Nice.
Yeah.
And Yacht, we'll just refer to it as Minnesota Nice instead of this Yachtalaga thing. Yeah. So the problem is, number one, it can offend people if you start thinking that you're special. But what about you're not to think you are as good as we are? In other words, you should assume that we're better than you.
Just get absorbed into the plasma of what this town is, because that's really where it came from.
Denver. Absorbed
in here and be like everybody else. Don't stick out. Don't make yourself apparent. Just keep your head down and do your job and shut up and go home.
Wow.
But what bothers me is how that kind of rings in my ear of a lot of what I have taken in as a Christian over the years, growing up here I grew up in Wisconsin, but also laboring here in Minnesota from my young adulthood on.
Right.
Just do your job, shut up, and go home. And don't offend anybody, especially. Just be nice.
Yeah, I had a problem with that.
How did you process it?
Well, I'm kind of outspoken.
You
run into problems when you become outspoken, you know, instead of just doing your job and going home.
Well, talk about that a little.
Well, I mean, no. I mean, it's just, if you know me, you kind of know that I kind of kick against the go-ads there.
Yeah.
as they would say, like I make waves and not always in a good way, but it's part of your personality.
Are you telling me you're not nice?
I would say, you know what? I think for the most part that I've been nice,
okay.
That I have not been
rude,
mean, tearing down that kind of a deal.
Okay.
So I would say that, but. What about thinking that you're smarter? You're not to think that you're smarter than we are. You're not to imagine yourself as being better. And so, where does that bring things if we're supposed to look at ourselves as being special in the sense that we're created by a God who knows us. He knows our thoughts. He is with us no matter where we go, right? If I ascend into the heavens or down into the depths, you are there. He's there. He is everywhere. But not to imagine yourself better than we are. How does anybody ever become instructed in anything? I mean, if there's a better way, like the word says that there is a better way to
Someone has to know something and communicate it to someone who doesn't know it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, how could you ever teach is your point.
Right. How do you bring the Beatitudes into this particular town?
Well, that's
of
that's,
shut up and go home.
That's the terrible part. That's the terrible aspect of Yontalagan or Minnesota Nice.
Right.
So what we're exposing here, listener, is a kind of a thing that exists that we just nobody gets up in the morning. Even Scandinavian people with that kind of heritage, they don't get up in the morning and say, "Well, today I'm going to operate by the law of Yontalagan." Nobody does that.
No.
But there's an awful lot of people practicing it where we live.
Right.
And we are in east central Minnesota.
So going back into the Beatitudes, because this is kind of where we got a little bit of our aha, right?
Right.
So blessed are the poor in spirit, and blessed are those who mourn. And it sounds to me that if you're Minnesota Nice, you're not going to trouble anybody with the things that are. If you're mourning over the loss of a loved one, if you're mourning over, whatever those aspects of life where mourning comes into play, if you're never sharing that with anyone because you're afraid that you're going to offend them. I think this really kind of does, maybe this really does come down to offending people mm-hmm. with, first of all, that I'm thinking that I'm important because I'm having a loss, but right. if I share that with you, then you're going to become offended and like, why are you troubling with me? You know, yeah, you should just go home.
Nice.
Yeah, go home. Don't be bringing puddles around my...
Right. Yeah, and, right. And even worse than that, when you look at verses 11 and 12 of what Jesus says, blessed are you when they revile you and persecute you, doesn't that assume that before all that takes place, you must have offended somebody?
Yeah.
Does Jesus assume that the way you live and the way you speak is going to be offensive?
I think that's very clear.
Now, another question would be, was Jesus offensive to people, or was Jesus always nice? Because this really gets down to it, because to be like Jesus, to be like Jesus, all I ask, to be like him. And we have, with that, we have this picture of Jesus. He's kind of there. He has his hands folded. He's got that nice white robe on, that serene
looking
look
up
on
at
his,
the Father.
Right, yeah. With the halo thing over his head. Yeah. That's Jesus.
Man.
Well, I don't know how well that matches the Jesus that we read about in the Gospels.
Or the one in some Revelation.
Ooh.
Or the one of the Old Testament.
Ooh.
I mean, Doc, really? Right?
Okay. I know.
I mean, we've had those discussions here.
But it's part of this discussion because yeah. he is our leader and he is our example.
Right.
Was Jesus afraid of offending people because if he offended them, then maybe they wouldn't follow him? A guy I thought of this morning was the rich young ruler.
Right.
Comes to Jesus, hey, I want to follow you, Jesus. Jesus says, good, okay. Sell all your stuff. And come back and follow me. He's like, what? All my stuff.
Wow.
And he goes away sorrowful. And so what does Jesus do? Hey, wait a minute. You know, I know that was a big deal for you.
Oh.
So come back. Let's talk about this.
Yeah.
Was Jesus nice with the rich young ruler? Because nice would have said, well, maybe sell half of your stuff. Or, you know, put some of it in the treasury here.
Right,
you know?
I was thinking that too. Yeah.
Jesus didn't do that.
Jesus just
let him go.
Yeah, he doesn't even confront the rich young ruler as though, as are you tithing on that money?
Right.
Right?
He doesn't sell it all, man. Yeah. And, I mean, Jesus is always doing that. How about with the Syrophoenician woman? Now, there's a case. Let's turn to that in Matthew 15.
You know, that...
Was Jesus nice?
She comes into our conversation.
She quite a bit, doesn't she?
Yeah, I am interested. It's just...
Okay, so verse 21. Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. This is out in the land of the Gentiles now. He's out of...
Way out of there.
Galilee and Judea and all that. He's,
right.
Okay. Behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demonized. But he answered her not a word. Was Jesus being nice? His disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away, for she cries out after us. But he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But she is not of the house of Israel.
No.
She's a Gentile.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And she came then and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. Dude, this lady is intense.
she
will not be put off. But look what Jesus says in verse 26. He answered and said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs.
Wow.
Now, my friend.
Jesus.
Listener, I'm sorry. There's no way of avoiding this, but this is a racial slur.
Oh. Oh, doctor.
Well, it is.
Well, I'm sure.
The Jews of that day used the word dogs to refer to Gentiles. It's very well documented. Okay.
Oh, my word.
And since she's a woman.
Ouch.
A little dog.
Ay, ay, ay.
Uh-huh.
Ouch.
Okay.
Oh.
But what does she do? She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table."
Oh, my word.
Now, it's possible, you could explain Jesus' words this way, that Jesus knew this woman needed to be offended into true faith in he himself, the Son of God.
Wow.
So was offending her that way.
Hmm.
But her response is so amazing. Then Jesus answered and said to her, after she said that, "Yes, even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table." What is she doing except being meek?
Yeah.
Ooh. Except being poor in spirit?
Whoa.
Everything lined out in the Beatitudes.
Wow.
This woman is being that.
Dude.
Isn't that something?
I like that.
And so Jesus says, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire."
Mm.
Even though she was not from the house of Israel.
Right.
She's a Gentile. And her daughter was healed from that very hour.
So the big thing that...
Isn't that something?
It is. And this is another example, and you've said this multiple times, but I think it's worth repeating, in that the heroes of faith in the book of Matthew are Gentiles.
They're all Gentiles.
I think that's so incredible. It goes so against the grain.
There's two centurions. There's this woman. There's the Magi. There's all these people. And Jesus never says to any Jewish person in the Gospel of Matthew, "Hey, you got great faith." He only says it to Gentiles.
You know,
Jesus, that's not nice.
Do we want to talk about the brood of vipers, or do you want to save that for tomorrow?
Oh, no. Let's
you want to go there?
Let's go there.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, you can keep going in Matthew. That's a good suggestion, Pete. How about over in Matthew 23? Because that's the chapter that was playing on my cassette player in 1997 when I was driving my car on a road in North Dakota and I had my personal encounter with Jesus. Now, on this whole nice thing,
right.
Jesus didn't insult me. He didn't... He wasn't rude to me. He just asked me a question.
Okay.
I would say by our English meaning of the word nice, it wasn't a nice question. It should not be brought up in polite company.
Mm.
But this is what was playing on my cassette player on that day in 1997. Verse 23 of chapter 23 of Matthew. "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. Blind guides who strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead man's bones and all uncleanness." Now,
ouch.
I don't see how anyone could say Jesus was being nice.
Hmm. No.
And that's important because when confronting the reality of sin and death, and in this case it's in religious leaders, Jesus is intentionally offending them. Now, isn't it interesting? You read later on in the book of Acts, there are quite a number of Pharisees that came to faith in Jesus during the ministry
of the
apostles.
Right,
the
leaders
apostles.
Of the law, right.
Not all of them by any means,
right.
but quite a number of them.
Right, enough to be mentioned.
Right.
Yeah.
And, but they didn't come because Jesus was nice to them. I don't think anyone would try to say that. So I wonder, Pete, about this whole idea that we're nice to people so they'll come to Jesus. What do you think about that?
I think that we've been duped.
Ooh. Ooh.
I think that's just kind of the bottom line, is that we've been duped. And really, it's not just Minnesota. It's all over this nation.
That's right.
That if you just keep your mouth shut and do your work and go home, the leadership of our nation will tell you how you should act and where you should go and how you're supposed to believe.
Ooh.
They're going to censor you. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about being called out, right?
And don't stand up against it.
And don't, right.
Yeah, that would not be being nice. Well, I'm telling you what, I'm tired of being nice.
I am.
And I don't find it in the Bible.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to intentionally be rude or crude to people.
Right.
But I think it's time to speak the truth in love.
And to know when to speak, because
right.
Holy Spirit is telling you
right.
this is the time.
Right. Yeah, not every encounter with a family member over masks is necessarily the right time to,
right.
but it might be. And that's why you have to be led by the Holy Spirit.
Right. Your situation may not be my situation.
Right.
And vice versa.
And I don't think it works for us to be dodging the issues either. Well, we don't talk about that here.
Yeah.
Masks, vaccines.
Right.
Unconditional obedience to the government. Well,
election fraud.
Yeah. Oh.
I know.
We don't talk about that.
Easy,
here.
Doc. Easy.
Yeah, right. No, we do, and we have. We've talked about it, I think, point blank.
Yeah.
On this podcast.
And we should.
Right. So, listener, here's where we want to land with this thing. Read the Gospels. Become very intimately acquainted with Jesus, what Jesus said and what Jesus did.
Mm.
And let that be the model for your life.
Yeah, amen.
And I think you'll be in a better position. I think you will not be guided and led around by this false notion of Christians always have to be nice.
Hmm.
Because if you're just nice, you'll never be persecuted, probably.
Right.
You'll never be hauled in anywhere and made to answer for things.
Like carrying your Bible.
Yeah.
Or going to church. What's going to happen when those days come?
And speaking in public about spiritual things and Jesus.
Right.
Right.
There are places on the planet where that is not permissible, and a Bible is unlawful.
Right. And yet, as an American, if it's within the boundaries of the United States of America, you have a constitutional right to do exactly that.
Right.
And what about that?
Hallelujah.
So,
maybe Grandma was wrong.
Maybe Minnesota.
You should be nice.
Maybe Minnesota nice isn't nice.
He's such a nice boy.
I know she's such a nice girl. I mean, it is. It's everywhere you turn, but especially when you live here. But listener, we want to pray over you and release you from the wrong kind of nice.
Yeah.
Because it isn't helping, and it isn't advancing the kingdom.
Yeah.
In fact, it's letting the other kingdom advance against us.
Mm.
So, Father, we just come in the name of Jesus
thank
today.
You, Lord.
We thank you, Father, for truth and for light. And Lord, in any way where this word that we've released here today can bring truth and love and light, we just ask for you to open that door so that our listeners can walk in a freedom to live their faith, to express their faith, to be among their family members in a freedom to let them know who Jesus is.
Lord. Thank you, Lord.
And we understand, Father, that some are going to be offended, some are going to maybe even separate themselves from us. But Father, we believe that your true word is like a seed. And when it's planted in a heart, and Lord, we just pray right now for situations where this has happened in the lives of our listeners here, where they have spoken the word, where they have lived the word in front of family members, and people have been offended, and people have had attitudes, and maybe even separated from contact. Right now, Lord, we just ask that you would go in there by your Holy Spirit and even bring a multiplication, that seed would just begin to grow even faster.
Yes, Lord.
Until it cracks the concrete that is holding that heart in bondage. And we realize, no, it isn't about being nice. It's about being like Jesus and bringing Jesus into the situation. So we thank you, Father, for the anointing of your Holy Spirit to do exactly that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thanks for listening.